Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are strapping in for a high-speed journey into a really innovative corner of decentralized finance. Drift Protocol V2. It's built entirely on Solana, and it's not just, you know, another iteration on a derivatives exchange.
Yeah.
People are actually calling it a third-generation protocol.
That's right, and I think that's a good way to frame it. When you look at the evolution here, you know, you went from simple AMMs, which were, well, they were capital inefficient.
Right.
Then you had the fully decentralized order books, but they were often slow, expensive. So Drift is really trying to like thread that needle.
Okay, so our focus today.
Our core focus is understanding how Drift manages to blend those two worlds, the order book and the AMM,
yeah,
into this this really unique hybrid architecture.
So our mission is clear. Mm-hmm. We're going to distill how this thing combines the best features of different models. We're talking speed, guaranteed liquidity, precise pricing.
All to deliver better execution and, critically, to maximize your capital efficiency as a trader. They are trying to solve four, you know, really persistent pain points in DeFi trading all at once.
Four pain points. What are they?
Well, first, protecting passive liquidity providers, the LPs, from what's called toxic flow. Second is guaranteeing highly precise pricing so you avoid those big spreads.
Yeah, yeah.
Third, maintaining always-on liquidity no matter how volatile the market gets. And finally, the most advanced one is internalizing MEV, or maximal extractable value.
Ah, MEV. So making sure that value benefits the trader, not some front-running bot.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a huge claim. Let's unpack it. To understand how they tackle liquidity and execution, we have to start with this defense system they build. They call it the liquidity trifecta.
Yeah, and this waterfall mechanism is really the structural genius of the platform. So when you, the trader, submit a market order, it does not immediately hit the automated pool.
It doesn't.
No. Instead, it enters layer one, the just-in-time auction, or JIT auction.
And this is where that MEV magic is supposed to happen, right? The JIT auction. It's a five-second window.
A five-second window. And in that time, market makers compete to fill your order. But here's the rule. They have to fill it at a price that is better for you than the price on the AMM.
So it completely flips the script on toxic flow.
It does. On a normal AMM, an arbitrager sees a price difference. They jump in, extract that value from the LPs. That's MEV extraction. Drift basically says, hold on, if there's value there, it goes back to the person who made the trade.
Let's use an example because this is so important. Let's say the AMM price for SOL is $150. I put in a market buy.
Okay. So a sophisticated market maker, maker one, sees they can actually fill that for you at, say, $149.50. They offer that price.
But then what if another one comes in?
Right. So if maker two sees that and says, I can do $149, then maker two wins the auction.
And the trader gets a full dollar of price improvement.
That's
positive slippage.
It's value that normally just leaks out to bots. But now it's internalized for you. It's a huge incentive for professional market makers to participate. And it's a brilliant protective layer for the passive LPs.
That makes perfect sense. The LPs are shielded because the most informed players, the market makers, have to take that flow first. But here's the critical question. What happens if nobody bids? If that five-second auction is just empty?
And that's exactly why it's a trifecta, not just a single layer. If no maker participates, or if they only fill part of your order, the rest of it immediately cascades down to layer two.
Which is the decentralized limit order book, or DLO.
DLOB, exactly.
And now we're in order book territory. This is where Solana's speed really gets leveraged, because the system uses keepers.
Correct. The DLOB is a decentralized network of keepers. These are just, you know, specialized bots or programs. And they're responsible for running the matching engine off-chain.
Off-chain.
Well, they take all the limit orders, match buyers and sellers off-chain, but, and here's the hybrid part, the final settlement of that trade, the actual transfer of assets, that is still validated and finalized on-chain on Solana.
Why is that off-chain matching so important?
Mm.
I mean, why not just do everything on-chain, especially on a fast chain like Solana?
It all comes down to performance. Every minute is incredibly computationally intensive. If you had to record every single one of those little events on the main blockchain, you would just overwhelm the network.
Just slow everything down.
Dramatically. And drive up costs.
Right.
So by using keepers to match off-chain, you get the speed and precision of a centralized exchange, but you only use the blockchain for the final verified settlement. It's incredibly efficient.
So the keepers are kind of like the decentralized version of the matching engine at NASDAQ or something, but they can't cheat because the smart contract checks their work at the end.
That's a great way to put it, exactly. And the DLOB is also where all your advanced risk management orders live. You know, standard limit orders, but also stop market, stop limit, and these really cool Oracle pegged orders.
Oracle pegged orders sound like a huge time saver.
They are. I mean, if you're a market maker, you want to provide liquidity at a consistent offset from the real market price, which comes from an oracle.
Right.
So instead of manually changing your limit order from, say, $150.05 to $155.05 when the market pumps, you just set an order like Oracle price plus 5 cents. It just tracks it automatically.
Dynamic liquidity. I like it.
Yeah, without all the manual work.
Okay, so if neither the GIT auction nor the DLOB can fully fill the order, we finally hit layer three, the final backstop.
The dynamic AMM or DAM.
And this is where the passive LPs are.
Right, this is their home, and because it only gets the residual flow, they're really well protected. But this AMM is also dynamic in two really critical ways that stop it from being exploited.
Okay, first is repegging.
Right, repegging just makes sure the curve's mid price is always adjusting to align with the external Oracle price. If the AMM price starts to drift away from the true market price, the pool just readjusts. It prevents those simple arbitrage attacks.
And the second one is dynamic hay, the liquidity depth. I think we need a good analogy for this one.
Let's think of it like a river. The K value is the depth of the pool, so how much liquidity there is at any price. If volatility is low, market is calm, the dam increases K.
So a pool gets deep.
Exactly. It's like a deep, still pool. You can throw a big trade into it, and the price barely ripples. Slippage is low.
Okay, that makes sense. Low volatility, high K, low slippage.
But now imagine volatility spikes. Big news event. The protocol senses this and it decreases K. Now the pool is shallow.
Like a fast-moving, shallow river.
Perfect. So now if you try to push that same big trade through, the price moves sharply, immediately, the spread widens a lot. And this protects the LPs because it makes those big trades super expensive, which discourages toxic flow when things are unstable.
That is a fantastic mechanism. So the whole waterfall JIT auction, DLOB, DAM, it's not just about getting the best price, but also dynamically managing risk for the LPs.
Exactly. And that speed, which is enabled by Solana and this whole hybrid model, it's really the foundation for what we need to talk about next, financial optimization.
Let's transition then from execution mechanics to capital efficiency. This is where the cross-margin system really shines, right? How does Drift maximize your capital across all its different products?
Yeah, and this is probably the biggest benefit for an active, diversified trader. Drift runs a unified margin system. It's an ecosystem, not just an exchange. You can trade spot, perps, use their money markets for borrowing and lending.
Even prediction markets.
Right. And all of these positions across all five of those distinct product lines, they all share one single collateral pool.
That is a massive difference from isolated margin, where every single trade needs its own separate pile of collateral. Here, profits in one area can automatically cover losses in another. It sounds like a lot of freedom for your capital.
It is freedom, but it has to be managed, which is why they have asset weightings for risk mitigation. The protocol knows that, you know, not all collateral is created equal.
Some assets are more volatile than others.
Of course. So they apply these tiered weightings. Stablecoins like USDC, they get a full 1.0x weight. A blue chip token like SOL might get discounted a bit, maybe 0.80x.
And then something really volatile, like a meme coin, BONK, for example, might only get a 0.5x weight.
Exactly. So if you deposit $10,000 of USDC, you get $10,000 of buying power. But if you deposit $10,000 worth of BONK, you only get $5,000 of effective buying power. It just discounts the riskier stuff.
Which makes USDC the most capital efficient collateral.
Precisely.
And this is where we get to that aha moment for any trader. Let's walk through that hedging strategy example.
Yeah.
Let's say you put up 5,000 USDC as collateral.
Okay.
Then you take two leverage positions, a $10,000 long on Bitcoin perps and a $10,000 short on Ether perps.
Okay, classic spread trade. Now, let's say it's a really volatile hour. Bitcoin pumps 5%. Your long position is up 500 bucks.
Nice. But at the same time, Ether dumps 3%. So my short position loses $300.
In an isolated margin world, that $300 loss on your ETH short might be enough to trigger a margin call. You'd have to add more collateral or get liquidated, even though your other trade was a winner.
Right.
But with unified cross margin, the system just instantly nets the profit and loss. Your net P&L is positive $200. That surplus immediately boosts the health of your entire collateral pool.
So you've used the profit from one position to finance the loss in another without even touching my initial $5,000.
That's it. That is superior capital utilization. It means the liquidation threshold for your entire portfolio is so much lower than if you were managing those two positions separately. It's a huge cushion.
Perfect for anyone running delta neutral or spread strategies.
It gives you the flexibility you need for those advanced strategies. You can use your spot holdings as collateral for your perp trades, and the interest you're earning in the money market is feeding right back into that same unified pool. That level of integration is what sets this generation of protocols apart.
Okay, moving into advanced strategy, let's go back to those order types for a second.
Yeah.
Because they become really critical when you're running a high leverage cross margin strategy. The difference between a stop market and a stop limit.
It's that classic trade-off, you know, guaranteed fill versus price protection. A stop market order is what you use when your main goal is just getting out of a position at any cost to stop a catastrophic loss.
So once the trigger price is hit, it just sells at whatever the next market price is.
Right. And in a flash crash, you might get a terrible price, but you will get filled. The fill is guaranteed.
Whereas the stop limit gives you protection on the price.
Yes. A stop limit has a trigger price and a minimum fill price. If the market just tanks and blows right past your minimum limit price, your order won't fill.
So it protects you from bad slippage, but you risk being stuck in a losing position.
It's a choice you have to make based on the market conditions. A very important one.
And we mentioned that JIT auction is a great place for market makers.
Yeah.
What kind of setup does a firm actually need to participate in that? It sounds intense.
It is, yeah. It is not for hobbyists. It's a professional setup. You need a keeper bot running 2-3-4-7, constantly watching the order books and the Oracle feeds.
Low latency is key, I'd imagine.
Absolutely. You need direct, low latency access to CEX price feeds so you know you're quoting a genuinely better price. And of course, you need significant capital for fills and a rock solid automated risk management system. It's a 5-second hyper-competitive window.
High stakes, high reward.
You got it.
So this all sounds incredibly powerful. Speed, efficiency, capital optimization. But because we are using a unified pool of collateral across spot, perps, lending, the risks have to be magnified too. What is the single biggest risk we need to talk about?
I think the primary risk, especially with 5 integrated products, is contagion risk.
Contagion?
Yeah. Since all your profits and losses flow into that single shared collateral pool, one really bad position can very quickly infect and compromise the health of your entire portfolio. It can trigger a cascading failure.
So it's not just about losing money on one trade. It's about that one bad trade pulling down your perfectly hedged position and your stable lending position all at the same time.
Precisely. If you're highly leveraged, or maybe a big chunk of your collateral is that volatile token weighted at 0.5x and it suddenly drops 50%, your margin buffer shrinks for all your positions instantly.
So it demands way more active monitoring than isolated margin.
Far more. You have to be watching your health factor and margin utilization ratio in real time.
And we also have to think about the network it's built on. This whole system sits on Solana. What are the platform-specific risks there?
Well, Solana is fast, that's the whole point, but speed can sometimes be compromised. You have to consider things like network congestion. If the network stalls, a transaction you sent to protect your margin or trigger a stop loss might get delayed or even fail.
And in a high leverage situation, a delay like that could be catastrophic.
It could be. And we also noted the reliance on the keeper network for the order matching.
The keeper network risk.
Yes. While the final settlement is verified on chain, the speed of execution depends on those keepers. So if there were ever issues like collusion or not enough decentralization in that off-chain layer, there could be risks. Though, again, the on-chain settlement is designed to mitigate that.
Okay, let's bring this all back home. We've covered a lot of ground on a very advanced protocol. What are the key takeaways you should be walking away with from this deep dive?
I think number one, you have to internalize the liquidity trifecta, the JIT auction, the DLOB, and the DAM. That structure is designed for optimal execution and robust LP protection. It prioritizes price improvement for you, the trader.
Second, understand that the cross-margin system is the engine of its capital efficiency. By integrating everything spot, perps, lending all your positions, share that unified collateral pool, which allows for these incredibly flexible and efficient hedging strategies.
And third, remember that the entire hybrid model, with its off-chain matching and high-speed layers, is only possible because of Solana's underlying speed. It's the foundation that lets a protocol like this even try to compete with centralized exchanges.
So this architecture offers incredible opportunities for capital efficiency. but it really demands active management and a healthy respect for the risks.
Absolutely. And that brings up a final thought. Given the complexity and that inherent contagion risk in these unified systems, where your health factor is constantly shifting, it raises a challenge for you to explore.
Okay.
Beyond just the initial asset weightings, the 1.0x, 0.x, and so on, what specific real-time metrics or dynamic leverage policies would you need to implement to proactively manage your portfolio's health across 5 different product lines in a really volatile market? Think about what your personal monitoring dashboard would need to show you. That's your next deep dive.